You're listening to Good on Paper, a bookish podcast. I'm Jenny.
And I'm Rachel.
Join us as we journey together into the land of fiction, where the men are brave, the quests are epic, and everything is better on paper. Hey everyone, welcome back.
Hi guys.
So the reason I brought up brand new shiny whip ideas, in case you're not familiar, sometimes when writers are writing a project that they're writing, sometimes they get an idea for another project. I'm sure this has happened to everybody. If you're listening to it, I'm sure most of you guys this has happened to. But so I'm working on a historical fantasy right now, and and I got an idea for like another book that was like a cozy academia college hockey romance.
Oh my gosh.
That is set in a small town in Vermont. And I was like, oh, that's a cool idea. So I just wrote it down because I'm not going to work on it right now. But the other night I was going to sleep and I literally planned out all four books. Like, I know all the main characters. I know exactly what they look like. I know their stories. Like, I couldn't believe how much I planned out in like, you know, like an hour or two before bed.
Oh my God.
Like, and I didn't mean to. I was like, okay, I'm going to go to sleep now. And it just kept coming and coming. Like, I saw one character and then the other one popped into my head and they were just like talking to me. And you guys, I'm trying to sleep. But okay, you're showing up now.
To clarify, this is a bookish podcast. Jenny does not have multiple personality disorder. No. She has characters in her brain. Just in case anyone is confused about where they are right now.
Yeah, this is a writer book podcast. This is what happens when you're a writer. We are not crazy. I promise.
It's so funny. It's because to anybody who doesn't know a writer or isn't a writer, they're like, you have people talking to you in your head, and it's like all the time, bro, all the time.
Yeah, they never just appear out of nowhere. Like, I don't know where they come from, and they just, like, I can just see them so clearly, and they have a voice, a distinct voice, and they're just, like, telling me, like, this is how it is. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So. I feel like sometimes I'm more, like, I'm trying, like, they're almost like they're hidden by little curtains, and I'm, like, pulling the layers back one at a time to figure out who these characters are, and then they suddenly get less hazy for me, and I'm like, okay, I got you now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because when I woke up the next morning, I was like, okay, you're sitting down, and you're just going to write down everything you thought of last night, because, like, I'm not going to write this project right now, but I'm going to have it, so I opened up a new document, and as I was writing it down, like, I came up with more stuff, because I had, you know, the one heroine, and I knew how she looked and I knew like what she was into, but I wasn't sure of her backstory. But, you know, as I'm writing all this other stuff down about her, I was like, oh, this is her backstory. And so, I mean, it's plotted out. I just have to like, if I wanted to start it tomorrow, I think I would just have to name the town and the school. Honestly, I could come up with placeholder names at this point. I really could.
Yeah.
I could start writing this tomorrow. I'm not going to because I'm already working on another project, but it's nice to know that it's like ready. It's just waiting for me, you know.
That's the best, yeah.
Yeah.
It's nice to know. I think it's almost like it motivates you through your current project when you know that you have the next one kind of ready. Because otherwise it's kind of like, well, what am I going to do when I'm done? But when you already have something you're excited to work on, you're like, okay, let's finish this. And then I can work on the next one. Like, you're like more motivated and excited, at least for me.
Yeah. No, I'm definitely the same way too. Like, a lot of times what gets me through a project, it's like, I really want to work on another project, but I won't let myself until it's done. Yeah. So I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Yep. It's like, it's like the, you know, reward, like the cookie for finishing your homework or whatever. It's like, you have to finish it first and then you can have that.
Except though, if you think about it, when you're writers, your reward for finishing your homework is more homework.
More homework. Oh, that's so funny.
I saw this meme on Writergram recently. I don't know who shared this. If you're listening, thank you for sharing this. But it was like, being a writer is just getting homework every day for the single rest of your life until you die. And I was like, that's so true. You always have homework as a writer. And that's what it feels like. It feels like never-ending homework. You know how housework is never done? That's what writing feels like. Mm-hmm. Like, every day you have that stress. Did I write today?
Yeah.
I need to write today. Like, it's like you never left school.
I feel like, though, all writers are secretly secretly like being students when we're passionate about the topic.
I agree.
I was not a good student in school necessarily. I wasn't bad, but I wasn't great. But when I'm passionate about the topic, oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like as much as we complain about writing, if I'm not writing, I start feeling like antsy and like not like myself. Yeah. You know, so even though I hate it, like if I'm not doing it every day or like just on a regular basis, like I feel like my life starts to fall apart, which sounds dramatic, but it really feels like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It anchors me to myself in some way, you know?
Yeah. I went a couple of years without writing really hardly at all. And I, looking back, I'm like, oh, that's why I was so unhappy.
Yeah. It's because
I wasn't doing this thing that fills me so much. And now doing it every day, I'm like, I'm genuinely pretty content. And I'm like, oh, that's why.
Exactly. Yeah. When I look back at the period of my life that I wasn't writing, like those were my most lost, like just miserable years.
Yeah.
And then once I started writing again, it's like my life started to make sense. And then I felt like I made better choices in my life. In like my personal life and relationships when I was writing.
Yeah.
You know, which is interesting because you would expect that like if you're writing in a journal every day, but like even writing fiction for some reason just made me a better person. And I don't know if it's because it actually does the act of writing itself or is because it's like my God-given gift. And that's when I'm staying true to myself. And then that just like, washes over to like all other areas of my life. Like, I don't know if it's the writing that makes a difference or the fact that I'm doing what I'm meant to do that makes a difference.
But, yeah. I mean, it could just be both. Yeah.
It could be. Yeah. It really could be both.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah. I also have this problem though.
Oh, good. I was about to say, so have you had any like sneaky little stories coming in lately?
Yes. yes. I guess I probably can say it. I think at this point I will have already said this on Instagram, but I have this trilogy coming out, but of course, like I said, like when you're writing a book, like you need something else to think about. So initially in the beginning of writing this trilogy, I was like, okay, these side characters over here, I think maybe I'll give them a story eventually. And like, I kept shifting around and I was like, I'm not really that excited about that. And then I was like, I know what I'm going to do. It like just came to me one night and I was like, yes, this is great. I love this story. And it's going to be a standalone series that in the same world as this urban fantasy world, but it's going to be a six book standalone series of rom-coms.
Oh.
And so it's just going to be regular rom-coms, but it'll be with like shifters instead of humans.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, oh my gosh. I was so excited. Like, the first ones, I picked out my character inspiration pictures. I got it. And like, I've got these scenes playing in my head. And like, I'm starting to, like, you know, that my female main character is like really type A and tightly wound. And that the male main character is like really like loosey goosey, easygoing, wants to have a good time, and they don't always get along. And like, I've got all these different tropes going on, and I'm so excited about it. I'm like, it's coming into focus. And so now for me, like, I'm loving writing, don't get me wrong, but part of the motivating for me now is that when I'm done, I get to work on the next thing.
Yes.
And I'm like, so, and like, I even have, after the six book series is done, I want to keep doing standalone series along with the urban fantasy stuff. And I already have my next like trope for my next standalone series.
Oh yeah.
Like, so for this standalone series, they're all going to be workplace romances. And then in the next standalone series, I already know what trope is going to tie those together. So I'm like, I'm already like way thinking ahead, but I'm like, it's okay. It's motivating.
It is.
It's exciting. It makes me want to keep going. So.
It really is. And I love how like, because I was the same as you, I had this idea for like the vibe of it. Like, I knew it was going to be like a college hockey romance, but I wanted to make it like really cozy. I wanted to do like, so I think I mentioned Trisha Ashley before. So she's an English writer. And so she writes romance, women's fictiony things in like a small town. And it's always like first person, And just like, it's not like dual POV. So it's first person through the woman's point of view. It's kind of like reading a diary. It's like that very like kind of personal tone.
Yeah.
And they're super cozy. The women are normally like bakers. And then there's always some kind of like cozy, like magical element, like kind of in the background. So I was like, I want to do that, but like in America. And I was like, how do I do that? You know, because I'm not English and I could write something set in England, of course. But I was like, I want to do something American because I'm American. Then I can also narrate my own audiobook, but that's not motivating me at all. So I was like, what could I do? And then I was like, why don't I do something like in Vermont, like cozy ski town vibes? And so like, I just had the idea for it. And of course I had to put in a figure skater. So I was like, I know one of them is going to be a figure skater. Yeah. And then, so I was like, you know, I have this idea and I wrote it down and I was like, you know, once I finish this project, maybe I'll sit down and work it out. Yeah. So I wasn't planning on working it out anytime soon, but it just came to me one night. Like I didn't have to like sit down and be like, okay, now it's time to write it. So let me think about it. It just like appeared. I wasn't trying to think about it. I was just putting it to the side. I just love when that happens. When it just like
it's so good.
Pops out of nowhere. Like,
I feel like when not only the idea pops in, but like the story continues day after day to kind of just come to you. That's when you're like, this is the next story. This is definitely the next story. It feels right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love
like when you start seeing the characters.
Yeah. I love the vibe for what you're talking about. Like this sounds so good. So oh my God.
I'm beyond
excited
for this. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And so
it's kind of like, I've never watched it, but I feel like it's similar, like The Good Witch, where it's like Hallmark, but there's a magical element to it.
Yes, it's that vibe for sure.
Yeah.
It's definitely all those vibes. So
yeah,
I'm super excited. And it's romance. So like I said, when my characters started coming together, it's so fun to write romance because you have that conflict between the hero and the heroine and you get to figure out how they're like different pieces that fit together but like are different and I just, this probably is not making any sense to anybody unless you actually write romance, but it is fun figuring them out and like what their story is and like how they need each other and like how they grow,
like writing that tension and that the pining and like the banter and back and forth is so much fun. Like that's my favorite part, and like when I'm going through and revising stuff right now, I smile so much because I'm just like, oh, I love that part. Oh, I love that part. Like, it's just so much fun. It's so
It really is. Like, because the first one, the hero is a hockey player because that's all hockey players. And then she is studying botany and she's like very serious. And they go on like this like botany like field trip through the mountains or whatever. Also, this is going to be a very interesting college. Like, it's not going to be, like, a normal college. It's going to be very whimsical, just so everybody knows. So they go on, like, this field trip. But then they, like, get lost, just the two of them. Like, and so then they're stuck in, like, some area. So then, like, he's, like, into her, but she's, like, you know, not having it. So then, but then she, like, needs money for something. And she's already doing tutoring. So then she gets, like, a call from the tutoring center. They're like, oh, we have another student who wants to be tutored. And it's him, and he signed up for tutoring so that he could be with her because he could tell, like, she wasn't, you know, she's like, she's like, no, like, I'm not dating, blah, blah, blah. So he's like, sneakily signs up for tutoring.
Oh my God.
Just so that, like, she has to go on dates with him, basically.
Oh my gosh. It's so perfect.
I'm
it reminds
excited.
Me so much. That one trope reminds me so much of. It reminds me so much of One Tree Hill, because that's what one of the characters does, is he signs up to her student so that she'll have to hang out with him because she hates him. I love that so much. So good. So good.
Yeah. So that's the first one, which is good, because I think that's the one I'm most excited to write, because I'm just like, I can just see this.
Are they going to be, each book is a separate couple, or is it like one? Okay.
Yeah, but they're all friends.
Yeah.
So it's like the first two are roommates. So I have the one girl, and then, like, it's another girl they become friends with later is the second book. And then the girl who was in the first book, who is roommates in the first book, gets the third book.
Mm-hmm.
And then a girl that I think they meet in the third book or the second book, it's one of them, has the fourth book. So, because I was like, you know, I don't want to overwhelm people with all four of these girls at once. You know what I mean? Because, I feel like that can get hard to do. So I was like, okay, I'm going to start with just two of them. And the second one, then we'll have the other girl. And then the third one, we'll have the other girl. You know, just because, for my sake. Because as a writer, just make it easy for yourself. Don't.
Yeah, like adding side characters and stuff sounds fun. And so to remember everybody and, like, organize everybody and, like, how they would interact. And you're like, oh, my gosh, there's two people in the scene right now.
It is. And then you always have to worry, like, is the reader able to keep this straight? You know, and that's a lot of work trying to get it so that you don't introduce your reader to too many characters at one time so they remember who these people are. Yeah. And I was like, I don't want to deal with all that work. So,
yeah. I agree. This sounds so good, though. I'm so excited. And it's funny to me that the next, like, series that we're both excited to work on is, like, standalone rom-com stories that are magical. I'm like, yes, I want, I don't know why this genre doesn't, like, exist, really. I'm like, it doesn't. Why?
Yeah, like, I just want a touch of magic, like, a little magic vibe. That's it. Yeah. And I want super cozy. Like, I want it to be, like, kind of, like, whimsical, you know?
Yeah. I can, like, totally, and I'm probably picturing it wrong, but I can totally picture, like, the tone of how you would do that. Like, it sounds so good. I'm so excited.
Yeah. It's going to be very, what's that?
What?
It's going to be very, like, Vermont. So, maple syrup, sleigh rides, apple cider. Like, it's just going to be skiing and, like, little cozy ski lodges kind of a thing. Yeah,
I feel like they would be the perfect stories to read in the fall. Like the fall and the winter when the leaves are changing and it's cold outside.
Yeah, no, I agree. Because then I was thinking about it. I was like, if it's a school series, it's not going to really take place in the summer. Unless, like, maybe I could do, like, a little novella, like, for the summer. But I would want to take place in the school year. So it's going to be very fall, winter, you know, kind of book. Which will be interesting. Because I feel like I always set things in the summer. I don't know why, but I do.
I mean, technically, you could do, like, if somebody has to go to summer school because they're behind or something, but, you know.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Then I was like, no, I feel like there's just something special about the school year. And it's, like, when it's, like, the last Harry Potter book, like, it's kind of sad because it's not at Hogwarts. You know what I mean? So I was like, I'm going to give my readers the school year because otherwise it's just going to be disappointing, you know? Like.
Well, then too, like, I feel like, and somebody else had mentioned this to me a while ago, there's not that many books or series that have to do with college students. Like, usually it's either teenagers or adults, and it's, like, nobody in college age. And they were really upset that they don't have enough books like that. So this is perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what I was thinking too, because, again, like, there's a lack of, like, college stuff, and then the stuff that is out there I don't particularly like, because they're like, oh, it's college, so let's go all in with, like, the drugs and the partying. Like, why can't we have college age that's, like, sweet, that a high schooler could read, that, like, an older woman who likes sweet romance could read, you know?
I agree.
So
like, I need to write some stuff with college age people.
Yeah, it's fun. And then you get to do all the academia stuff because, like, that's so fun to write. And it's, like, very in.
Yeah.
Like, you know, not that you should write to, like, what's in, but, like, if you're also into it, because I'm really into the academia stuff. So, like, it's fun for me to write too, you know?
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. I like that. That sounds really good. Yeah. I feel like the nice thing to me, for me, the reason, because, like, I tried writing rom-coms, I did the one novella, which I enjoyed. But then I realized that I probably will never write just regular rom-coms because I get kind of bored.
Yeah, me too.
Writing them anyway. I enjoy reading them. Yeah, but, like, there's not anything else going on besides the relationship, really, versus adding in this element of magic is, like, there's just enough in there to add a little bit of conflict and interest besides just the regular Hallmark storyline. Like, I don't want to give too much away, but in one of the future books, like, there are some people who are mates, and
that's such a fun thing to work with. Yeah,
or, like, one of them could be, you know, a dragon shifter, and then the other one's a human, and so their worlds are just very different, even though they're both. Yeah, it's like adding little bit of a layer of like the magical stuff, I think makes it so much more fun.
I agree. Like, I like it for like the vibes. Like, to me, just writing about regular life, but I need to have like that magical vibe to it. So because I wanted to write rom-coms too, but then they weren't interesting me enough. So I said, okay, well, focus on what you like, which is like historical fantasy, fairy tale retellings. And then I had the idea, I was like, you know, if you keep that flavor in a romance, like you could write romance and still have it be on brand. Just write the kind of romance that you like, because like I said, I fell in love with Trisha Ashley, and hers just have this like kind of cottagecore magical vibe to it, even though she started writing this before cottagecore was a thing. But you know, so I thought, you know, you could write other genres, just keep the flavor of like what you like in it. And I was like, genius. Then I will enjoy what I'm writing. I'm not going to confuse my readership. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think it just takes like a little bit of playing around to figure out how to mesh the different things you like to find what works for you. Especially because it feels like the way it's being done is the only way that it can be done. Like that rom-com, the way they're done is the only way they can be done. And it's like, no, you can actually approach them however you want to.
You can. You really can. And people will read it, because there's always going to be a group of people who are like, I like rom-coms, but what if? Or like, I like romance, but where's the college romance? Or like, I like this, but where's that? You know, you're always going to find a group of readers who want this genre that maybe not a lot of people are writing. Like, so go write whatever you want to write. Yeah. You know, somebody's going to want to read it.
That's true. And I feel like people too, I mean, romance is the number one best-selling genre in the world.
It is.
For a reason. Mm-hmm. And so people will follow the romance. So even if your, like, new genre isn't something they've heard of or really know a lot about, they're going to see that there's romance in it, and they're going to go, okay, I'll try. Because the romance is, like, the main theme. So they're like, sure, whatever, I'll give it a shot. But, I mean, you can't go wrong, really.
Exactly. Yeah, romance readers are probably, like, the best readers to go after, because they read so much and so quickly. So, you know, like if you want to write a lot of books and make a lot of money, that's probably where to go to, because that's where they have like the biggest readership of people who read fast and like a lot, you know, because that's the thing about romance books. A lot of times, I said this before, I don't reread them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm always reading more versus like my favorite fantasy books I might reread. So, you know, that's going to be like a slower audience versus romance. They love to binge on the most part. So, so if you want to do something within the romance genre and you want to do something different, like go for it. Cause like, there's going to be a bunch of readers who, like you said, they like romance. So they'll pick up your book because they're like, I just want another romance to binge, you know?
It's like they say, there's so many readers in the world. We will never be able to write enough books to where there won't be enough readers for everybody. Like, there will always be more readers who want more.
Yeah, because I read books way faster than I write. Like,
for sure.
I think everybody does. But, like, I'm just putting out there, like, I'm a slow writer, but I'm a fast reader. I'm a really fast reader. So, like, I need so many books.
Give me more books, guys. Keep writing them.
Yes. Yeah, please. Because they're all, people are always talking about, oh, nobody reads anymore. I'm like, I don't know what you guys are talking about. Like, I don't.
Maybe you're not talking to the right people, because I feel like a lot of people read.
Yeah. And I think, and that might be true. Maybe the percentage of people who read has gone down from the old days. And that would make sense, because now we have TV and stuff. But the people who do read, like, they read. Yeah. Like, the people who do read, read a lot. And generally, they read pretty quickly. Whereas, like, I think back in the day, people didn't read as quickly because we didn't have so many books like just on demand all the time.
Yeah.
So if anything, I think people read more. The ones who read, read more than people did in the 1800s. Because like how many people had books in the 1800s?
True.
Like, you know?
And I think too, with indie publishing being so much bigger now, I think people read a wider variety because people aren't just publishing what publishing let them publish. There's just such a wide variety of types of books that are out. So I think people read such a wide range of things because there's just so much more going out.
Yeah. It's a really exciting time to be a reader. I'm just gonna
say. It is. And also, indie authors, the cool thing about it is that we listen to the readers.
Yeah.
So what the readers like and respond to, we want to make more of that.
Exactly. Yeah. Because it's more direct, you know, because with the publishing house, then you have to get the approval of the publisher. Publishing houses aren't really listening to readers that much, like not to the level, like, because they're just so far removed. And then they have such a big reader base. But if you're an indie author and you have like a loyal group of fans, like you can really get like some good like connection and feedback from them. And then like we have things like Kindle Unlimited, which is great for people like me because I'm such a fast reader. So I'm like,
same.
I know they raised their prices. It still makes sense to me. Because I'm like, even if the books are like priced as low as $1.99, which that is really low for an ebook. Most ebooks are like $5.99. Like really all I have to read is like maybe like on like worst case scenario, I'd have to read 5 a month and it would be worth it. And like, so for me, like, of course I read 5 books a month. I read way more than that a month. So that's also really nice, I think, for like binge readers that we have something like that. Cause back in the day, like if you wanted to read a lot of books, you were going to library or you had to buy all these books. And if you're reading like 12 books a month, like that's really expensive. Yeah. You know,
and especially for books, I get kind of annoyed when, especially when indie authors charge a lot. I'm like, I could almost buy your paperback and it would be like a dollar more than your ebook.
Yeah.
Why would I bother buying your ebook? So that's why if it's not on, if it's not on Kindle Unlimited and it's not like an Audible author, I will not pay for an ebook because I'm like, I'm not going to spend $12 for an ebook when I could spend $13 for the paperback. Like, I feel like that's, so yeah, but yeah, Kindle Unlimited is great for binging. Being able to read a lot of books.
Yeah, because I remember when the price went up and everybody was freaking out and I was like, this is still worth it for me. I don't know what you people are talking about, but I read really fast, so.
And they hadn't raised the prices in years and years.
Yeah. So
it's like, I really don't think it's that big of a deal.
No, but especially because like, prices are going up on everything. And like, I don't agree with that. I don't think they should be going up.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is they are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and like, I'm sorry, but like if all these people working at jobs are getting their wages increased because we have this stupid inflation, like the people working at Amazon and the people who are, you know, publishing their books on Amazon also need their wages increased. Like it just.
Yeah. It's a domino effect. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the unfun side of publishing though.
Yeah, it is. But like everybody's in that same boat. Like no matter what you do, like if you're a person who works and buys stuff today, like you have to deal with it. So that's everybody. Yeah. Like nobody it's doesn't everywhere. Work or doesn't buy stuff. Wait, do you have sticky notes behind you? Do you hang up your sticky notes?
Those are my quarterly goals.
Oh, okay. So are they like on a wall? Yeah. I'm like, it looks like a door, but maybe that's a wall that has like lines on it.
No, it's a whiteboard, and I used washi tape to make a Kanban board.
Oh, okay. So it's, like, big. Okay, now I see what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
That's cool. I used to have a whiteboard that was hanging up in my room, and it had, like, a calendar on it. And then so you could, like, every month I would go through, and I would write 1, 2, 3, 4, like, and all, like, the dates of the days, and I'd write everything. And it's just nice to be able to just, like, look and see, like, your month ahead. You know?
Well, like the who would I get it from? Heart Breathing was the lady that I got it from on YouTube. The idea for this, where you choose 3 quarterly goals, and then you write down everything that you can think of that would help you achieve those quarterly goals, like even the small steps on sticky notes, and then you put them each in their goal section, and then as you're working on a sticky note, you move it into the section for working on it. And then when you're done with it, you move it into the done section. And it's been really nice so far.
That's so smart. I'm trying that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm definitely trying that.
Yeah.
See, I always make quarterly goals and then they change. But, you know, that's okay. Because I made one for, I think, by this time I was like, okay, I'm going to make like a workshop, like a writing workshop thing. And that was going to be my quarterly goal. But I didn't do that because I went in a different direction in like, you know, learning how to do all that stuff. And I'm glad because, you know, But yeah, I didn't. Yeah. So I should probably make writing quarterly goals are probably smarter for me, because I feel like those I'm more likely to actually do. When it's like business on the side kind of goals, those are just like, they're on the side. You know what I mean? Because the focus of what I do is writing. Mm-hmm. And like anything I do on the side, if it's like a writing workshop or editing or like, I don't know, designing or like anything like that, like that's on the side. You know, it revolves around my main goal, but it's not. It's not the most important thing.
The nice thing about these goals is like my first goal is I want to make so much money in the first quarter of 2023 or whatever. And then within that, I make sticky notes for different things. So like writing my books counts as part of that goal because that helps me achieve that, because if I write them, I can make money on them. So like I have a sticky note club for writing this book and the next book after that. And then my second goal is like building social media platform or like fans or following or whatever. And so it's like the nice thing about it is like you have the umbrella goal and then all of your projects can fit within those goals. So that way you don't have to alienate anything. Cause when I make my goal, like, oh, I'm going to finish this book in this many months, I feel like it's hard to maintain it. Cause there's so many other things they also need to do that don't fit in that goal, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah.
That, yeah, you're so right. Cause everything works together to bring you to that like end goal. Yeah. I feel like, cause for me that makes sense too, because a lot of times when I'm writing, like, I feel like I try and separate like writing and social media, but you know, when I think about it, okay, so growing my platform helps me sell more books, but also writing books gives me content that people might be excited about that helps grow my platform. Yeah. You know what I mean? So you're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're taking time to write a book, well, now you have a product that you can put on there. You can use snippets, you can use whatever. Yeah. And if it's something people really like, that will help grow your platform and bring people to like your thing. So I feel like lately I've been like separating the two when I should be like merging it more, because you know, otherwise you get into the sense that like when you're doing one thing, you're not doing another thing and you're constantly fighting with yourself. But like it's all going towards the same goal, you know?
Yeah. Yep. I wholeheartedly agree. Cause it's hard when you try and like piecemeal it out of each goal is just specifically for one project versus all of these projects are trying to accomplish the same goal, really. So if you just, you know, call it one goal and then you can have separate projects. And then also I like that I can have all of those pieces of the project on the board. I know they're there. I know they need to be accomplished. And then I just pick the ones that I'm currently going to work on or have time to work on. But because for me, if I don't write down all the things that I think need to be done, I'll get overwhelmed thinking that I'll forget about it or something. I'm like, I need it to be written down.
Exactly.
But then I don't have to treat it like it has to be done this second, because it's not on the section of what I'm working on or whatever. So yeah, I highly recommend, her name is Sarah Cannon.
Sarah Cannon, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, Sarah Cannon. Yeah, YouTube. I know exactly who you're talking about.
It's called a Kanban board. And she has like a whole bunch of videos on that specifically. So yeah, highly recommend.
Yeah. And then that's another thing, like going back to how we started, even though we didn't plan this episode, I feel like it turned out well. Then when you get like those other ideas, it's not taking away from what you're doing. It's part of like your career as a whole.
Yeah.
You know, because I feel like I just stress so much about it. But, you know, I got that idea and I'm like, it's okay. I wrote it down. I can work on it whenever. It'll be really fun to make reels off of that. You know what I mean? Like this is helping me in like every way, you know, it's not taking time away from anything. It's like adding. And I think getting to a mindset where you think about like adding and growing rather than like struggling and balancing all these different things.
Yeah.
It's just a much better mindset to have.
Yeah. That's like with the series that I'm planning next, I don't like punish myself for working on it. Instead, I'm like, okay, I've been revising this trilogy for like 2 hours now. My brain is dead. I need to do something else for 20 minutes. And so I pull out that other story to work on for 20 minutes, because by doing that, I'm actually helping myself to kind of decompress so that I can go back into working on what I was working on. So I feel like it is a balance, like still getting done what you need to get done, but then you can also use those new ideas as motivators.
Yeah. And then it helps future Rachel. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
You know, you're not wasting time. Like, you know, because when you finish that series, it's going to be time to work on your next one. So anything that you did before helps you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really, you're paving the road for yourself so that when you get done with this series, you're really ready to rock and roll and get into the next series or the next book, because you're like, I've already kind of set the groundwork for this. I'm ready to go.
Exactly. And then you didn't pressure yourself, because like I said, had I, you know, I had the vibes, the idea for it, but had I just, you know, finished my historical fantasy book and then said, okay, time to work on this project, and then just sat down and was like, but the fact that it came to me when it wasn't supposed to, when I was trying to sleep, you know what I mean? It just, it's more organic.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's more alive when you're not forcing it, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a tough balance, because people are always like, you know, you can't just wait until you're inspired to write. And I think that's true. Mm-hmm. But I think you have to realize that inspiration comes, like, it's not like a once in a blue moon thing. I think it comes a lot more often than you realize. And you just, you know, you just let it happen, kind of a thing. And it's not like, obviously you have to have discipline, but I don't know what I'm trying to say, but
I think the initial idea of a story should happen organically. Like, it just, it strikes you when it strikes you. As far as sitting down to actually write the book, that, ready to write the book, that's where the discipline comes in. But the initial, like, brainstorming, that has to be natural.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, yeah, because you can, and sometimes you can sit down at your computer when you're in the planning stage and, like, more stuff will come to you.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's definitely a lot more, and see, that's the funny thing, too. Like, I can sit down and plan for, like, 4 hours, 5 hours. But like, when it comes to actually writing, I get tired.
Oh, so, yeah.
You know.
Same.
Yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, I guess, so we started off this episode with, you know, these kind of evil little plot ideas that steal into your mind. But I guess they're not necessarily evil. Like, you can have a lot going on, but it doesn't have to be a bad thing, because it's all pushing you to the same goal. You know, and just, you know, write down what you can and just tell yourself, okay, I'll work on this later. You don't have to, like, stress about it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you don't need to punish yourself for working on it when you do work on it, because you're still working towards the same goal by working on this other project occasionally. Like, it's still something that's going to help you in your career. So, that actually turned out better than I thought it would.
I know. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if we mentioned it, but we decided not to plan this episode and see what happened. So, you guys just listened to our first unplanned episode.
I think I like it this way.
I do too. But yeah, definitely let us know what you think. Like, you can message us or comment. And if you liked the way this turned out, we'll do more like this. And if you have any other ideas, as always, you know.
Mm-hmm. Let us know. All right. Well, thank you for hanging out with us.
Yeah, we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey guys, thanks so much for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed it, and tune in next week for another episode. And if you enjoyed it, please consider leaving a review so that other people can find us, and we will see you in the future. Bye.